I guess it's time for me. It's world famous Phil Hendry show. And you notice I don't have any respect for the song itself. I'm just talking over all of the marvelous voiceover that they have at the beginning of this. Even though I kind of like it, it's, is this cat's name Andy Miller or am I... Andy Mineo. Okay. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. I gave the day off to our crew, you know, Margaret and Robert and Bud and the general, because they had been complaining about the time that I take off, even though it's work time, it's work-related time. They bitched about that. So I said, well, I tell you what, you can take this day off. And they said, oh, you're going back to the Phil only Mondays. I said, I don't know, but just go ahead and take Monday off and get out of my sight. And that's when they kind of got upset and surly, and I had to throw them out using my fists. I'm joking. Because, you know, well, you know. All right, so here I am talking about fictitious people. Welcome to our program, although you could be talking about anybody and be talking about fictitious people, because this is the day and age of fake people. Anyway, welcome to our Monday show. And there's a lot, as I have said, to talk about. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, one of the things I wanted to clear up or get out of the way, or I don't know how you want to put it, is our new website. Now, people are saying, well, when is this thing going to happen? And as I've often said, like so many things that are under construction, you know, the timetable gets shifted around and weirded out and stuff. However, we are at that point now where I can tell you about the Phil Hendry Show website, the new one that we're going to have, because I think that when we announce a new website, it's a super, super important thing. What we're doing is we are taking what was once a radio show and we've completely digitized it and completely, you know, put it online. And, you know, it's now a commercial product available only online. And we're kind of proud of that. We're proud of the fact that this is a professional podcast or netcast or whatever you want to call it. It's a business, and a business that employs people, etc. So it's a very serious effort. And I decided back in the summer when we had this upheaval here, well, you know what? Maybe it's time to do the website again. We got a lot of material. When you try to migrate large files, large media files, both video and audio, and if you don't do it right, it can be a catastrophe. And we've gone through that kind of thing. And what I mean by that, links are broken. Some of the material just goes missing. I have a whole, I don't know which year it is, but there's, or which section of a year it is, but there is a complete section of my archived material. And I think we've actually found it since, and we've duplicated it, but it was missing the first time we redesigned the site. And I'm not saying anybody was doing anything nefarious. I just think that it's huge. It's a big, big job. And I don't know if the average webmasters and development teams have been used to that. The guys we're working with now are terrific, and they get it, and they get the job. And so to that end, what I'm telling you is we have a website now that is going to be easy to access. All of that material, we're going to have sort of entry points on the website by way of the characters, by way of myself, to get into this massive amount of material that we have. We've updated our show logs with the help of some of our backstage pass people, our BSPs, which I can't thank them enough for that. So I think it's going to be cool. The other thing about the site is that it has a brand new look and feel. Now, the site today is very dark. If you look at it now, it looks like a nighttime talk show site. It's the colors are all dark. There's a lot of earth tones. There's cigarette smoke. You know, in other words, it sort of represents what at one time we were trying to, you know, present, which was this quote-unquote serious, not really, talk show for people to call. What we've done is we've brightened the site up. It's going to have a lot of blues. It's going to reflect where we are, which is, you know, we do our show at the beach, and you know, let's start. You know, I want us to look like what we are, as opposed to something that we're not. Because I'm sure you, when you think of me, what do you think of? Well, you think of a guy that's tanned, ripped. You think of, I'm kidding, but you know, we're definitely not that other look. So, the site's going to be vibrant. It's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to be what I want you to know is that the site's going to be easy to use. It'll be a lot more intuitive to navigate, way more user-friendly. For all of our Backstage Pass members, we have completely revamped the way the archives work to make it so much easier for you to access the hours and hours of content. So what you do now is keep an eye out on social media. I want you to go over to facebook.com/realphilhenry. And it is there, my children, where we will be updating you with pictures of things and little video clips and so on and so forth. We'll tell you, and we'll be posting sneak peeks, which I'm not a big fan of that term because my mind goes to some dark places. But I think in this instance, it's a fantastic, I think they mean well. I think we mean well. Shane and the guys are doing a great job. So that's where that's at. And we do have some of our Backstage Pass people getting ready to help us with, well, I don't want to tell you. If I let out any more information, somebody's going to get mad at me. But we will include some of our subscribers in, you know, sort of, I guess you might say, you know, giving the final okay on the site. So I would, if I were you, I'm not you, I don't want to tell you what to do, but if I were you, I would definitely subscribe to the site now while the getting's good, man. Go to philhenryshow.com and get a Backstage Pass. You can get it for a month. You can get it for a year. You can get it for a month and a year. You can buy gift subscriptions. You can, a lot of things, multiple subscriptions if you want. It's pretty affordable for the, as far as I'm concerned, for the amount of material you get. It's like, it's like dirt cheap, like El Dirto Cheapopo. So check that out at philhenryshow.com. Thank you. Bless you. I can't, you know, it's, you mean the world to me. Now then, moving along. I'm, you know, sounds like I'm bullcrapping you, but I'm not. Because like I said, this is a unique effort. This is not completely unique. I mean, there's plenty of very successful podcasts, obviously. Ours is one that is a subscription podcast. We don't rely that much on advertising money, although we do have very good sponsors. We love our sponsors, and we, you know, try to do our best for them. But really, it's kind of, as we say in so many of the commercials that we do, it's a direct-to-you kind of a relationship, you know? You just go, hey, Phil, give me that, and I give it to you, and I take your money. It's like I'm my, the ice cream guy in the summertime. He pulls the truck up, and, yeah, I'd like to have a Tutti Frutti, man, and I just lay it on him, and bang, that's the way it is. No middleman, you know? In fact, that's not a bad idea. I think I'm going to buy an ice cream truck, and I'm going to drive around in that thing, and I'll just park it somewhere and do my show and demand that people pay me. I'll just have a tambourine out there or something. People can drop coins in it, and then I'll move on, you know, move on to the next street until I'm run out of all these neighborhoods. Man, you know what? I'm going to do that. I don't know whether I'll actually do it. I say I'm going to do so many things. But getting a van, the official Phil Henry Show, because remember back in the days when we were doing our radio thing and radio itself, when I was at WID in Miami, we had an armored car. That was the official radio station, quote-unquote, you know, van. Every radio station, especially rock stations, have these promotional vans. You've seen them driving down the street millions of times. We had an armored car at IOD. I just thought the idea of that was genius. I don't know what happened to that car, but I would go out on this thing on Fridays with Andy Kalb, my producer, and with our engineer, and we would just do remote broadcasts, going places and looking at things and stopping and bothering people, just all kinds of stuff, and blowing everybody away with this armored car. We'd go down to South Beach and, you know, try and get the way, way too cool people down there to talk to us. Sometimes we were successful. And I'm thinking, that's not a bad, I ought to bring that back. I don't know if I can bring back the armored car. I think what I would like, I think I'd like to have an ice cream van, one of those, and even have the music, you know. I remember the music, I remember the very first ice cream truck I ever heard as a kid. It was in Arcadia, California, on 7th Avenue, and the song went ding, 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 And then ding, 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 further down the street until finally it was like, ding, 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 ding. Why I brought that up? Oh, I know, because I think I'd like to have a little little music box theme, too. In other words, just something so silly and stupid that I'm not going to want to get in the thing and actually drive it, you know? Okay, Phil, here's your ice cream van, man. It's just to your specification. I don't think I want to do it. What are you talking about, man? Well, I'm embarrassed to... It's your idea. And then we stop and we do the show. So on paper, it sounds good. We'll see whether or not it stands up to the scrutiny of the harsh light of day and the hot, beaming, searing rays of the sun.
Hey.
All right, so today is Monday, and as I said, I gave the crew the day off, and I've been spending the last few weekends doing something that I got to tell you, I didn't think I'd be doing. And that is spending the last few weekends with my ex, Maria, because I found out quite by happenstance, because I called her back in, was it January, February, I said, let's have lunch, you know, what's going on with you? And man, she's doing amazing stuff. I'm really proud of her. She's gone back to school. She's getting her master's. She's going to be licensed in marriage, family, and child counseling. Then she's also going to get her doctorate. I mean, I know a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot. I know quite a few people who at that stage in their lives, they've decided, I'm going back to school. I'm going to finish what I was doing. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And for Maria, this is the greatest thing because I know she sort of had an interest in media and broadcasting and talk radio, etc. It's a hard damn business, man. And when I heard that she was going into this, I thought, yeah, boy, it's perfect. And she loves it. So, and not only that, but to have somebody, you know, in your life who can shrink your head, like, I think I'll give Maria a call and find out just how psychotic I am. So I've spent the last few weekends, but not to get my head shrunk, not because I'm going to get some free, cheap counseling. Although she lays that on you. It's kind of cool. It's, I don't know. You know, I was crying the other day. Why were you crying? Well, I was just thinking about, my mother and, well, you know what Jung says? And then it's just like, boom, she just goes and I take notes and she's, what are you writing down? Oh, nothing. I'm fine. And, I get home and review it and change my life, accordingly. I'm kidding, Maria. So here's the thing. That's not why I am seeing her. I'm seeing her, well, for a lot of reasons, because, you know, it's great to catch up with her. But I found out this poor girl, at the onset of last summer, was having severe pain in her hip, and she had arthritis. She found out she had arthritis. It runs in her family. Now, I know to a lot of younger listeners, you're like, oh, man, this is kind of old. Yeah, you know, it's what it is, man. It's like we're old people here, man. We're like getting our, you know, if we get brain replacement someday, sign me up. I'm first in line for that, too, because they have hip replacement. Now, the good news, and she did. She went and got it diagnosed, and then when she went back for a follow-up, and it must have been a shock for the poor kid because she thought, well, I'll go for a follow-up and see what kind of treatment. And the doctor said, your hip needs to be replaced, both hips. And it blew her away. Now, it's in her family. It's in her genes. Maria played basketball in college. I don't know how much that had to do with it. But, you know, she was an athlete for a period of her life. And she was always athletic. So she's going to have a hip replacement. Now, I didn't know anything about this. I knew nothing about hip replacement, except a couple of people that I knew had knee replacement stuff, and I'd read about it because I'm a sports fan, and I obviously you read about a lot of guys. Jim Otto, the great 00 from the Oakland Raiders, who was, I believe he's on crutches at some point in his life. I think he got knee replacement surgery. I hope I'm not wrong, but I think I heard that. All kinds of athletes, and this stuff now is so, I gotta tell you, it's, I can't believe how in and out it is now. It's like getting your tonsils out or something. It's like having a filling. It really, They got so many things down now, these doctors, that were very exotic sounding when we first heard about them, right? When we first heard about these things, it was a mind blower. You know, remember open heart surgery, and then now they got valves. Now I haven't kept up. Maybe they've got an actual plastic heart they stick in there now, or what? What do they have, you know? I have no idea. That's why I say, it won't be long now, man. They'll just take a box and a blinking unit and stick it in your skull. We got to take that brain out, Phil. Really. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, you use it a lot, but it's fried, Jack. Okay. How long will I be out of commission? In, out, baby. You come in, put the new brain in, out. Now, I don't want anybody messing around and, what do you mean? Programming it and stuff. No. You think, man, I want malpractice? No. It's all you. And, in fact, we tweak it. We make some of your jokes funnier, and you're better. Never mind. So, all right, I'll probably use that and see if we can't make you a little bit quicker on your feet. But, so where was I? Oh, yeah, hip replacement. She says to me, she was scared, too. You know, she says, God damn. I said, well, now, come on. Well, let's get the, you know, well, I'm going to call a bunch of doctors and figure out. Okay, that's a great idea. Now what do I find out? Now I find out that like half of my friends have had it. I mean, what the hell? You guys haven't said anything to me. The Swede, who many of you have heard of down through the years, he had it done in January. I said, you're kidding. He goes, no. And I had it with this doctor and this and that and a bunch of other stuff. Because he was out golfing. He was going back to golf. And I said, and you're golfing. Yep. You know. Now, the Swede is one of these guys that if there's something wrong, man, he will make sure you know about it. If there's something screwed up or messed up about something, he will definitely. I mean, in other words, he would say, hey, you got your hips replaced? Yeah, and it was hell on earth, man. Do you recommend it? No. Or something like that. But he, none of that. I told Maria, I said, you know, the Swede had he had hip replacement surgery. And then she found out from a couple of friends of hers that, so the cool thing about it is that they do it and then you're walking the next day and you're playing golf and riding a bike within months. I'm really happy to hear that because we went out to dinner last night. Maria's an athletic woman, and she's not an old woman at all. I had to help her to the table. It was bad, man. It was just a drag, you know, to see her. She's holding on to things as she's walking. God damn it. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Now, I'm trying to think what we have in the hereditary stuff in my family is a bad back. And by bad back, if you've got a bad back, you know what I'm talking about. It's painful as hell. But there ain't any back replacement surgery. And frankly, I don't think they need it because what you do with a bad back is you have to do exercises. They used to say, get surgery, forget it. You know, my old man told me that because he had that. Because I was a kid and we were repairing a lawnmower and my father was bending over helping me with this with that kind of benevolent dad face. You know, all right, now what you do here, Philip? And the face went from being this sort of, you know, half smile, but intent. And suddenly I was looking at this face and it turned into a grimace of horror. You know, it was like, and I, what the hell happened, man? He just turned and he kind of waddled away back to the house. And the next I heard, which wasn't too long after, a few minutes, your father's, he's in bed. They've got him in a jackknife position. That's the whole thing that they did in those days. Well, put him in a jackknife. Poor guy. And then he had surgery. And now, of course, nine doctors out of 10 will tell you, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't have the surgery because it further traumatizes the muscle and the, you know, the whole area of the body. So I haven't had that done and I don't need it. I mean, as I sit here today, I don't have any pain at all. And that's cool. And one of the things I did is I found chiropractors. You know, I was going to chiropractors in the 70s. When they were seen as witch doctors by a lot of medical guys. Seriously, the first chiropractor I ever went to had an office in a supermarket. Think about that. You know, when you go into a supermarket and there are stairs, you know, you go to the very back and there may be some stairs going up to an upstairs. You feel, especially those old supermarkets, or there's a place where you go, there's restrooms, you know. That was one of these. It was in New Orleans. And he wasn't too far away from where I lived. I can't even remember this guy's name. But I remember he was a tallish man in his 50s, kind of curly gray hair, glasses, studious looking. Well, hi, Phil. And I'd seen the cat on TV. I'd seen him on a Sunday morning New Orleans television public affairs show. And we have with us Dr. So-and-so, and you do chiropractic, right? Yes, we do, and what we do. And he was explaining things. So at that time, I was working at a rock station in New Orleans, and when you work on the radio, you lean forward. There's a desk in front of you, there's a microphone, and the tendency is to lean forward. If you have a bad neck like me, and you have had like pinched nerves and all kinds of crap, leaning forward over a length of time is bad for you. If you do any kind of exercise that exacerbates the situation, that's bad. And what was I doing? Because I'm a real brain surgeon when it comes to, you know, I am smart, man. I was standing on my head every morning. All right. Yes, I was. It was a yoga move that I knew. And I don't know why, but I was like, I was 25, 26, something like that. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to stand on my head, man. Because that'll get the blood flowing. I don't know. It's good for you. I didn't know what I was doing. What I was doing was, is I was screwing my neck up even worse. So when I got on the air and I would lean forward and I'd talk on the mic or I'd be looking for something, I would have a pain that would shoot from the back of my head through my right eye. I mean, I'm telling you, it went from the back of my head right through my skull to my eye. Now, I knew instinctively that it wasn't a massive brain tumor or something weird. You know, the first thing you're going to think is, man, that ain't good. What is the pain again? It's going from the back of my head to right through my eyeball. Man, I don't do it. No, it's fine. Fine? Man, I would get to a doctor now. Call an ambulance now. But I knew, nah, it's really not, man. Well, what do you think it is? I know what it is, man. It's my neck. I can just tell because it only happens to me when I'm leaning forward. I deduced all this stuff because, you know, I'm just so gifted that way. So I see that guy on TV. Well, call him up. Yes, Phil, come over here to 5163 South, you know, Sharonda Lugula, you know, one of those names in New Orleans, Louisiana. They don't mess around with the French pronunciation. They say, if it's Carondelet, you know, no, it's Carondelet. You go down to Carondelet, and then you go to Chalmette. We don't screw with that. No, you mean Chalmette? No, to hell with that, Chalmette. It's Chalmette. Get your ass to Chalmette, and that's where you'll find the zoot suits or whatever it is you're looking for. Well, I need a raccoon hat. Yeah, they got that too. So I went over and went to the, and I said, Jesus Christ. And he told me, he said, now we're in the back of the Funburger, grocery store. We are in an office there in the back of the Funburger grocery store. Really? Okay. Yes, don't worry. Don't let it scare you. I said, no, I mean, cool, fine. So I go in, this is 1978. And upstairs, and there's the door, and I walk in, and there's the doctor, and he's got on the white smock. And, you know, when you're in pain, when you are experiencing, like, pain that you can't control, you'll go to the witch queen's hut there in the swamp. It doesn't matter. You'll go anywhere. You'll do anything. I already had it. I had bad back pain. My medical doctor told me, well, it could very well be your back. Yeah, it's just that I know that. He gave me pills. I didn't get relief until I went to a chiropractor. So I go in there, and he says to me, I'm going to take x-rays. Okay, cool. So this guy knows how to read x-rays. He takes an x-ray. He shows me what he says is wrong with my neck. When I was a kid, two things happened to me that traumatized my neck. One of them was I quote unquote fell out of a high chair. That's what I was told. fell out of a high... Now, I don't know whether I fell out of the high chair or the high chair toppled over front-wise. To this day, I don't really know. All I know is my mother said I was screaming for, you know, I was screaming bloody murder, and I toppled the high chair over. Now, I won't, you know, comment any further. I don't know, and at this point, I don't care. The other thing that happened to me was I was playing baseball. I couldn't have been more than 10 or 11 years old, and I had my legs knocked out from underneath me, and I fell. And when I hit the ground, I hit right there at the shoulder neck area. Bang! And to this day, you know, I'm convinced that I missed being paralyzed by a little bit, because what happened was when I got up from that, my entire body was vibrating. It was almost as if I'd been put through some kind of electroshock. I've never felt that, never felt it before or since. It felt like there's pins and needles in my body. And now, you know, in later years, I thought about it at the time, and I thought, God, that's a weird feeling. And then it went away and back to playing baseball. But as I thought about it in years, as the years went by, I don't know, man. I mean, that could have been like I came that close to some serious spinal injury. So, but I've had x-rays since then. And yeah, sure, there's trauma to my neck, like calcium deposits, all that stuff. He said, yes, right here. This is what it is, Phil. I said, so what is going on? Well, what's happening, and this is a beautiful thing. Ralph Alvey told me this, who is also my chiropractor. He said, your head is so far forward that your brain is telling you, now this is how he put it, and I don't know whether this is how they teach him, but he put it, he says, let me boil it down for you. Okay, your brain's telling you that your head's going to fall off. That's why you get dizzy or you get these pains. It's like, you know, your head's not in the right place. It's way too far forward, and nothing is working, and you've got pain, and you get, and I used to get vertigo. Good God. You don't even know, man. When you get up in the morning and you're dizzy and you can't control it, and you know you got to get on an airplane, for instance, and fly to Miami for a job interview. That's what I had to do. I woke up one morning in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had a job interview in Miami, and I had this vertigo. It was all caused by, recurring problems with my neck. I had to get on a damn plane. There was nothing I could do about it. What happens is when you walk around long enough, it starts to dissipate, starts to go away a little bit. So, you know, I mean, I've had some fun times. So anyway, I go to this guy in New Orleans. This is before the whole dizzy thing. And he says to me, come on in, dizzy. I said, thank you very much, doc. And he said, well, what we'll do, Phil, is we'll manipulate the third trilateral. I don't have any idea what he's talking about, but we'll get these two. And I lay down. He takes my head, and he does that bone crack thing, man. He twists my head like... We've all seen it in horror movies. You're a Dracula, just takes off Renfield's head. Well, this is similar, except the guy's not trying to take your head off. Just crack, crack, one way and then the other way. And as I knew it would, it cured the problem. As I knew it would, I just had this instinctive... I knew it was wrong with me. You know, I knew it was wrong with me. All right. Now, that didn't cure the whole neck thing, because as the years went by, that was in New Orleans in 1978. Now, as I got into my 30s and the 80s occurred, and the marvelousness of the 80s was all about us with the glam band, you know, the hair bands and the stupid-ass clothes and whatever I was doing. I had my Ram season tickets with the truck driver, you know, baseball cap, that stuff. I began to get this vertigo thing, this dizzy stuff. And, of course, you know, you tell your friends, and Sweet said this to me. He goes, you're what? I said, I have this dizziness. Can I ask you a question? Sure. Have I ever been in the car with you driving while this has happened? I said, maybe. So that's when I went to Dr. Alvey, and he gave me these exercises to do, and I got rid of that stuff. But that was the worst GD thing you would ever in your life have to deal with, man. I mean, there's all kinds of crap that people got to deal with, you know, but that thing... That vertigo thing, good God. I said to Ralph, what is it? He said again, your head's too far forward. You know, we have to get you to exercise to push your neck into the right position, man, because it's So you, when you're living with that, and you don't want to tell anybody either, because it's not a cool thing to have. You could say, you know, I got a bad leg. Oh, there, geez, you want to sit down? Sure. Or what's wrong today, Phil? Well, you know, my arm, man, and people would be sympathetic. I sit down, we'll get you a hot tea or whatever the hell. But to say, you know, what's wrong, Phil? I'm dizzy. From the moment I woke up this morning until right now, things are spinning. Uh-huh. Because they want to rush you to the hospital. They think you got blood pressure problems. They think you got all kinds of things. The good news for me, and it's a blessing, is I always knew, and just intuitively, this has got to have something to do with my neck. It has to, man, because there's just, I've got too much discomfort there. And finally, when we went to Doc Alvey here in Santa Monica, that's the cat that put it all together for me. And from that day forward, anytime I begin to feel like I'm getting some of that dizzy stuff, because it'll happen, man, if I'm laying and I got my head in the wrong way, if I'm just laying on the floor and I'm watching TV, probably the worst thing you can do is lay there with your hand, you know, your arm on the floor and your hand propping your head up. All that stuff could cause it. Now, why am I bringing all this stuff up? Maria and the hip thing, you know. And I, what she's going through, I haven't gone through anything that bad. I don't consider all that stuff that I just told you to be anywhere near as bad as somebody having to have their freaking hip joint replaced. But apparently, like I said, it's just easy peasy, baby. You go in, out, boom, boom. There's your leg. Here's your hip. Get out of here. You know, great, man. And she got the insurance to cover it. And I'm the luckiest guy on earth, man. I got SAG-AFTRA insurance, which is phenomenal insurance. Some of the bread that you guys are paying for health insurance, a grand a month? Forget it. I got great insurance. I think I have great insurance, although like the other day I went to the dentist and, well, no, we don't cover that, Phil. I don't know what it was. Really? Yeah. Or a medicine that I want? Well, you know, that one isn't covered. You know, they will not. So, yeah, but by and large, it's good stuff. So I don't want to sit here and talk about being sick and all that shit. I just wanted to tell you, because all of that stuff is to say the following thing, that I'm back kind of, you know, hanging out with Maria, and it's a great thing. And we're both, like, really smarter. Oh, my God, man. I mean, way smarter. And one of the things for me and for her, I didn't say it to her. I didn't say, gee, I sure hope you solve that problem. I mean, none of it. When we talk, it wouldn't ever be about how, here's what's wrong with you. We would say, well, here's what I did. Here's where I thought I went wrong. Here's where I, you know, was screwed up. And both of us had the similar problem. We're both type A anyway. And we had this enormous sense of ego and a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. I was worse than her, you know. And now, when I look back on all that stuff, I can sit down and I can just calm the hell down, you know. And it's fine, man. You know, it's just, it is, like, you know the saying, it is what it is. I think I finally figured out what that means. A lot of people are irritated with that. Why do they always say it is what it is? Of course it is what it is. But what it's about is accepting that this is the situation, so you work with this. Don't be pissed off because the situation is not the situation you wanted it to be. This is what you're working with. Yeah, but you might, when we did the thing, I know, but it is what it is. Ah, oh, you're doing that again. Yeah, but I think I know what it means now. So we had a great time, and we went to this steak place. There's a steakhouse out here in California that's very well known. There's like a couple of them, and you probably have them in your area. And I got so sick and tired of going to these places because they've turned into what I call like a high-class sizzler almost. You know, everybody's dressed to the nines, and they've got the piano bar, and it's just, oh, yeah. And everything is beautiful, but there's something about it that's kind of too packed in. It's getting kind of sardine-y, and, you know, they're rushing the food to your table, and the tables are a little too close together. The whole thing is bumming me out. So I don't want to go there anymore. And also, this is very interesting. The two times that we've gone to this one restaurant, we had arguments. I said, I think that place is bad luck. So we found this place in Westlake Village called Prime. I don't care if I'm plugging it. I'm not getting paid to plug it, but I always like to tell you guys about places that are great so that you'll go and visit and give them money. And I sit here going, why did I do that? But no, seriously, this is a place called Prime. And it's out in Westlake Village. If you ever get to that part of where I live out here in California, which is up in the Ventura County area, go there, go in, order. And when you get the check, you'll say, ah, Phil didn't tell us how expensive it was. Well, tough luck. Was the food good? Yeah, I guess. And then you're on your own from there. But it ain't that bad. There's two of us. How much do you think it is to go out to dinner? I mean, to go out to a good dinner? I think you can't spend less than $2.50 at least for a good meal. You know, when you take your lady out and you get maybe a bottle of wine, minimum 250, maybe three bills. And this was like, I'm saying things I shouldn't be saying. You guys probably think I'm insane. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to go out to a nice place and you want to, you know, take her out and impress her and all that bull crap and maybe get a bottle of wine, maybe get, you know, a couple of belts yourself and have a, you know, a beautiful evening, it's going to be about $2.50, $3. And our tab last night, and I probably shouldn't say, you know what, hey, look at this, it was only $180. Well, that's real great, Charlie, but it's Maria, it wasn't that kind of a date, so... At this point in our lives, we're like, look at that. We're telling each other how cheap stuff is. She's the other thing about her is she's been all over the world for nothing. Her and Catherine, my stepdaughter, they've gone everywhere. I said, where did you go? Well, we were in Turkey last some place, and then they went to some other place, and then they were in London. Where are you getting the money? She says, you don't understand. I'm doing it on the cheap. I said, well, how cheap? I mean, what? So... That's a skill I've never had, and I never will have, or maybe I ought to develop it at this point in my life, because, man, I'll tell you, that's... But then I think, I don't have time. I got time. I take one day off here, one day off here. I take a weekend off or 3 days off, and that's all. I can't do it. I can't, you know, it's like Robert De Niro in King of Comedy when he says, I can't do the 6 weeks. I can't get even close to that. I can't do the 1 week. I'm my own boss now, and I'm an asshole. I will not give myself any time off. And if I do give myself time off, I feel like hell and I'm guilty all the way. And, you know. So anyway, yeah, she's done it all, man, in the years that have elapsed, you know. So I'm very proud of her that way. And like I said, we had great conversations and it all came down to, for me, I would say to her, I had big ego. I had a chip on my shoulder. I had it in for the world. Everybody was going to pay for what I thought was disrespect, this and that. You know, I don't think I'm that unique when it comes to that kind of stuff, especially if you achieve any kind of success. If you're not thinking right, you can get into that kind of thinking. And I did, you know. And... And I, you know, as a husband and as a stepdad, the only thing I knew how to do was to say to people, well, I know I'm a lousy husband and I know I'm a crappy father, but at least I'm paying the bills, you know. At least we went on the Disney cruise. At least we put a pool in, whatever. Which is not the way to think, you know, that's not a good way to think, but that's how I, and I told her that, you know, so she probably said, you know, was thinking, we know. And I was a real asshole, and I want you to know that.
Yeah, I know we...
I mean, no. What did you say? Nothing. So, it's been a really cool little, you know, I guess, relationship there. I'm really happy that we're talking to each other like civil human beings, you know. And we have this little routine. We have lunch, and then we have dinner. And I find out all about what's happening with her, man. So here's this woman. She's going back to school, getting her MFCC, Marriage, Family, Child Counseling. And then she's going to get her doctorate. And I thought, boy, I'd like to do that. Wait a minute. I did like a year of college. That's it. I did a year and a half of college. And the reason why I did a year and a half of college is I already knew what I wanted to do. And I didn't see any point and hanging around in college. I understand, believe me, when I tell you, I understand at this point in my life, if I had a degree, I suppose I could use that, you know. But I don't know what the hell it was going to be in. If I could do it again, I probably would become, I probably would go into research, like history or something. I probably wouldn't do anything having to do with entertainment. But that's not a regret. I'm not telling you that to say, boy, I sure wish I could do my life over again, because I don't. I mean, I like what I've done, and I am what I am, and that's all I ever can be. You know, Popeye the Sailor Man. But I, you know, I recognize that having a degree is kind of a cool thing, because she can do that. I can't. My old man didn't go to college, and it hung him up like you wouldn't believe. He was part of a generation of men that admired dudes that went to college. And it was almost like a kind of an old school thinking, you know, like you almost like you wanted to step off the sidewalk when a guy with a college degree came by. Cause like, look at this guy. This guy's got a college degree, you know? And, my father felt he was undereducated till the day he died. He was one of the smarter guys that I knew. He had a library that was packed with books. He read like a son of a bitch. You know, but he would forevermore think of himself as just kind of a dumbass, you know, who didn't have the education. And so he would sit there and do what a lot of parents say, get your education. You kids, get your education. If I could do it again, oh my God. The problem is, I don't know what I was going to, take out student loans? I didn't know the first damn thing about how to go to college. And there was sure as hell wasn't anybody in my life helping me with that. Well, I think you have to apply, honey, and okay, and then how do I pay for that? Oh, you know. I mean, they want money. Oh, all right, okay, I get it. So you guys are broke, all right. And that's pretty much the way it was. So I said, I don't have time for that, man, and I know what I want to do with my life, and I'm going to go do that. And I did. I built a career starting when I was 19, 20 years of age. And I, you know, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I got jobs, and I went from job to job, and I knew where I wanted to go, and I knew what I wanted to be. And I achieved that, you know, but it was all just by the seat of my pants. I guess I'm, you know, some people will say to me, you ought to give yourself credit for that, Phil. I do, you know, it's great, but I don't know. Nobody I know, well, wait a minute, I shouldn't say that. There's only about two or three guys that I know that actually have college degrees. Everybody else is a dumbass like me, so. But the dumbass guys that I know are rich. So explain that, you know. The dumbbells that I know who are didn't go to college, but the cats that went to college are doing well. I don't want to get a whole rap session about college, because if I do, it'll never end. Go to college. If you want to go to school, go to school. There's some people that just don't need to, because they do know what they want to do. And, you know, if you're starting a business, and nowadays there's kids starting businesses in their 20s. I mean, Don's son, Joe, all these guys are like, they haven't even cracked 26, 27. They've started their own businesses. Why? Well, ain't no jobs. And it isn't so much there aren't any jobs, but the economy, the industrial scene in America is changing. It's changing. You look at a auto factory, it's automated. Robot arms. I saw a picture of that the other day. I said, my God, I haven't seen anything like that, man. I must be way behind the ball on this stuff, because I thought there were actual guys still working in car plants. There may be, but the jobs are few and far between. I saw a film or a video of a fulfillment center, you know, where they go and they get the item that you ordered and they bring it to the place where it gets mailed. They're robot forklifts. There's no man driving it. They program it, or they send a radio signal or something, go get the Hasbro toy and bring it over here, all right, and make it snappy. And the robot runs off and gets it. And, you know, so there's that kind of stuff's going away. And so you have to kind of, you got to take a little bit of personal responsibility with this stuff. I'm not trying to get political. Believe me, I'm just saying, you got to okay, I'm going to take the bull by the horns here and figure out what the hell I'm going to do. When we started in August working on our website, that's who I was running into. Guys in their late 20s, early 30s, who had development companies, who had social media branding companies, who had these companies that they'd started, you know, out on the West Side, helping with this very specific thing, which is online businesses, digital business. And I said to Don, I said, you remember when we were like in our 20s? He goes, yeah. We both started to laugh because we were like worthless. You know, I mean, we had jobs, but start a company wasn't going to happen. But these guys have to, a lot of them. They have to. So they do. So, what the hell, man, I admire them. How did I get on this? Oh, I was talking about, I don't know what, I guess I was talking about the web. Oh, going to college. I'm taking this time, if you've tuned in here, if you had the podcast running and you're going, what the hell is he doing, man? What happened to all of the marvelous characters? I've given them the day off, and I'm just hanging with you guys today because it's a Sunday night. We're doing a live stream of this, so there are people watching me live right now. But, you know, then we download it for podcasting. And the end of the weekend is kind of a tough time sometimes to get going. So I thought, well, this is probably a really good thing. I was laughing at something today. I was sitting somewhere reading it, and it was a Bob Green bit. Man, right out of the gate, I could see Bob, and it was so damn funny. I was howling with laughter, and I was actually sitting with Maria's dog, Millie, reading this thing, and the dog staring at me like, what are you, man? You know, this is a whole new, because he's been hanging out with her. Now here's this ass who's sitting there laughing, this jackass human. And that's a great bit, and let's do it tonight. Did I write it down? No. Do I remember what it was? No. I can't even remotely remember what the hell it was. I thought it was so funny. So when you fail to do all those things, you will say to yourself, well, now, maybe tonight is the night that we give it a rest, Jack. You know, just give it a rest. All right, so I think I've covered everything. I think I've got you guys up to speed on my just thrilling life. I'll tell you that... I don't want to tell you too much inside baseball bullcrap, but, you know, I've gone off the last few days doing voiceover auditions and stuff, and also going off to F is for Family Monday to do some looping with those great, great people. Season 2 is official. For you guys that are F is for Family fans, and I know there's a lot of you, Season 2 is now, I think, dropping, right? Am I right about that? Or did it drop? That's all I'm seeing on Twitter. So Season 2 is rock and roll, and with any luck, we got a Season 3 coming up, man. And I'm really hoping I'm hoping against hope that happens. And that's, okay, so I think that's all that we wanted to talk to you guys about today. As I mentioned at the outset, we are now in that space with the redevelopment of our website where I can tell you a few things and not wanting to drop it all at once, but the site is going to have a different, much, much brighter, more colorful look than it has now. And it will be much, much easier. And when I say easier to use, how tough is a website to use? Hit the link and go to the place. But it's going to be more intuitive. You're going to understand. You won't have to go looking for it. You'll understand, oh, this makes sense. I'll go here, I'll go there. So we'll be doing that. And some of the other things that I mentioned to you guys that I can't remember right now, but I did mention them earlier. So, and also, as we move toward the actual rollout of the site, we will have more and more information to tell you guys about. And as I said to you at the outset, we make a big deal out of our website redesigns because this is our business, you know, and we're very proud of it, and we're very proud of the fact that we have made a radio show a viable digital entity. I know there's a lot of guys that do that, but they also have radio shows. I don't know of too many cats who are solely making a living, who are radio hosts, who are solely making a living in the digital realm, you know, from their radio jazz or whatever you want to call this. And we want to keep on doing that by bringing you guys a better and better website. Okay, so that's that. That's it. That's all I have to say. What else? Thunder the cat was meowing her ass off. She's gone. She split. She got bored. She likes to come around and just start yapping. I mentioned a bunch of other stuff about pets. Tune into the show tomorrow and Wednesday. I'll tell you a little bit more about the whole thing. I wanted to get a dog, and I realize I can't get a dog, man. If I get a dog, I'm going to have to figure a way to have a dog, because I'm not here 2 days in a row. I'm not here, but that I'm not gone for 5 or 6 hours and sometimes 12 hours. So dogs got to have people to walk them and let them go out and take a piss or whatever they got to do, you know? So I got to figure that one out. And that's the beautiful thing about a cat. They go and piss by themselves, and they don't really care whether you're around or not. In fact, when you show up, they always give you that look like, oh, Jesus, you again. You know, that we were just having fun. We were ripping the back off the sofa, and we were also clawing into this nice leather chair. And look who shows up. Jack Ball here. Thanks a lot, Charlie. So that's the look they give you. And in many ways, you understand and you feel bad about yourself, you know. And you almost want to say to them, I'll leave and no, you're here now. All right, kids, thank you very much for listening. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're at the El Pacifico here. I'm the executive producer of this thing. Our company is named Siempre Incorporated. Our wonderful platform, the great, 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 great people at Podcast One. All of our advertisers, all of our BSPs. Oh, yeah. All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for downloading the show today. Go on back and listen to some others. We've got any given day, we've got like 5 weeks worth of free podcasts up and available to you. Goodbye.